reseated. We are looking at the next set of spiritual gifts, which is the gift of prophecy. And that's a gift that is supposedly common in the Old Testament, because the prophets stand out head and shoulders above many other ministries in the Old Testament. And definitely it's the gift of prophecy that has equipped them to function in the way God wants. Plus, of all the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy has been given a special place even in the book of Corinthians. There's an entire chapter devoted to how it's supposed to function. And it seems that this is one of those gifts where it is supposed to be abundant in the church. And we have many questions. Why should it be so abundant? Why so prominent? And before we look at some of those questions, let's look at the scriptures first to consider all these scriptures together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is mentioned here in the listing of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So there's prophecy, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, which are all vocal gifts. The spoken word comes forth. And then in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul exhorts us in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So he even asks that we desire to prophesy. And in verse 3, it says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. He repeats this again in the other scriptures lower down in verse 22 to 25. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is judged by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now here are all the scriptures on prophecy, but as we dive deep into it, we need to differentiate that there are certain things that are correlated, but there is a specialty into the area. For example, all of us have faith, and we need faith in order to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. That means that every single believer needs faith. In fact, we need faith to be born again. We need faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We need faith to believe in a God who is invisible to our natural eyes, but who is in the spirit world, a reality. So we all need faith. But at the same time, there is a difference with the gift of faith. And don't be confused by the English words where this side is faith, that side is faith, therefore it's the same thing. But the gift of faith, in essence and substance, it is still faith. But the gift of faith is an impartation, a supernatural impartation to a specific person in a specific time for a specific task. And it is a gift of infusion. Different from normal faith that all of us need to grow, to have, and walk in. In a similar way, there is a general word for prophesy, which is the verb form, which is used generally for any message of God that comes through. Whether that message is among the revelation gifts, if you remember what the revelation gifts are, and they are, it gives a review something, whether it be the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, or in any other form. And the revelation gifts, when it is spoken, it is in a sense a word of God. And in a sense, being a word of God, it can also be prophesied forth, prophesied out. And so that is the revelation gifts. And sometimes it can also come forth as even among the power gifts. And God can reveal something about a sickness, a problem, and reveal the cure at the same time. And in a sense, you can say, yes, it is the word of God. God said this. And so all this can tie back to the word prophesy. The verb, which is to speak forth. And then there's the word prophecy, the noun. Oops. Prophecy. The noun, which most of the time when it's used specifically, it deals with what I call the gift of prophecy. Which, as we know, just like faith is related to the gift of faith, but the gift of faith takes it further. And just as prophesy is a general sense of speaking forth God's word. And by speaking forth, we also include other operations. It could be demonstrated forth. And many other ways it can be it's expressed forth. Like Agabus was a demonstrative prophet who demonstrates the prophecy of the Lord. Same with Isaiah, who walked around naked saying, this is what will happen to the rest of you. So there is a word from the Lord demonstrating it. Or Ezekiel, who cut his hair and threw it to the wind and says, this is what the Lord will do. So these are very demonstrative prophets and prophecies that come forth. So prophecy can come forth through a demonstration too. And we need to be aware of that. Although, you know, it may be rare, but in the church world today, I'm sure there are still gifts of that functioning. And so we should never judge sometimes the gifts that are operating too harshly. Never judge a gift by its cover, but judge by its content and the results. Because we can miss out a good book just by missing out on the cover. And not all nice covers means the contents are good. You always judge by its actual content and the results it brings. So sometimes we are so used to the norm way of doing things that if it's of God, it must come in this dignified looking manner, in this way. And so we're not open to other ways that God wants to shake up the church. And sometimes He does use people specially called and fine tuned to shake up the church. By the time of Isaiah and Ezekiel, the people were so deaf to God. You need an Isaiah and Ezekiel to shake them up. Same with Jeremiah, who is called a weeping prophet, who weeps most of the time. And these are people who had to extremely prophesy in an extreme circumstances of deafness towards God. And so there's a general word for prophesy that includes all the other gifts. And then there's a specific gift of prophecy. Now relating it between faith and the gift of faith, that means the gift of prophecy, when it functions, would be to a specific person for a specific time, for a specific function or task. It is a very specific gift of prophecy functioning. And when we relate these two, it explains the scriptures that we have gone through. You see, when you have this understanding that prophesying includes all the other gifts, and the gift of prophecy is a specific word, right? A specific word given to a person in a particular time and for a particular purpose or function. Then when we look back at the scriptures that we read, we can understand why when Paul used the word prophesy, the verb, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 24 and 25, that he suddenly talked about revelation gifts. And you see that in verse 24-25. If all prophesy. So in a sense, he's not saying that everyone will function in the gift of prophecy. But he's saying that everyone can function giving out a word from the Lord. Whether it through any of the other gifts. It's just like we can say, not everybody has a gift of faith. But everybody needs to have faith. That statement is still correct. So not everybody has a gift of prophecy, but everybody can prophesy and be used by God to give out God's word. And why is it so? Because the whole universe is made up of God's word. God spoke it into being. And in Revelation there's a scripture that says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it gives a place of prophecy. Now, that is important to understand when we look at this gift. Otherwise, you cannot understand why in verse 24, Paul says, all prophesy. And in many other places, I want you all to prophesy in verse 1. Compared to 1 Corinthians 12, where he says that to one is given this gift. And to another is given that gift. Implying that not everybody has a gift. So in that way, we can understand it. The difference. And so here it has the gift of prophecy, and now we zoom in right to the gift of prophecy. It has a specific, very, very specific function, different from the generalized word prophesy. And the scriptures come clear to us. We understand now why he includes all the other gifts when he says, all of you prophesy. And just to confirm that, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? Now he's talking about the same thing. Come together to prophesy, used by God. Each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now he's talking about different functions. But through all those functions, they function as part of the general word prophesy. But they do not necessarily refer to the specific gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is an authority God gives a person so that when they speak forth the word thus says the Lord, or you like King James, O King James, thus saith the Lord, carries that authority of the speaker under the gift. It is no more just them, but it is God speaking that specific word. And that word need not necessarily have a revelation content. But because of the anointing on the gift, even if God says, thus saith I to thee, I have loved you from the beginning to the end, and I will be with you through all your trials and tribulations. Simple word. He says that he loves us. He says that he'll be with us. But when the gift of prophecy delivers that word, you hear it as if your very lover and spouse whom you love speaks to your heart. As opposed to just reading about, yes, God loves me. There's something there that comes to you. And that's what the gift does. Sometimes that gift functions with the revelation gifts and it reveals something. Generally, people have always seen the gift of prophecy as a revelation gift. That is why when they blindfold Jesus and they buffet him and hit him, they say, prophesy, who hit you? In other words, they're asking him, tell us which one of us is hitting you. They want him to reveal a word of knowledge. So in general usage, we have always understood the word prophecy to be revelational. It can be, but not necessarily so. And what does Paul qualify it? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he gives three things about it in verse 3. Primarily, it is A, to edify. That is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. A, to edify. B, to exhort. And C, to comfort. To edify, to exhort, to comfort. These definitions come straight from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, and it's found in verse 3. So the prime purpose is not to reveal. Revelation may come when the other gifts function with it. And healing may come when the other gifts of healing function with it. But primarily the gift of prophecy is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. The Greek word for edify implies building a house. Building. Exhort imply encouragement to the extent of being alongside. Being alongside encouragement. Comfort, of course, implies receiving help. Help. And what I call a tremendous boost of additional strength in a time of weakness, and strength, help, receiving strength and help. And that's what it's supposed to do. Now let me compare that in the natural world. In the natural world, you have what we call motivational speakers. Non-Christian companies pay thousands of dollars to employ motivational speakers to boost their salespeople. Some of the motivational speakers, praise the Lord, are Christians. And I know, seen some of the videos of some of them. People like Zig Ziglar from America, or here, I think it's someone called Ray, something or whatever, among the top motivational speakers employed non-Christians. A lot of them are actually Christians. And some of them, when they have gone through a sales training, and they train all the salesmen, and they put motivation speakers to them, have increased their sales sometimes by 800%. So I just saw one video session by one of these motivational speakers who was a Christian. And he shared how he went to one Harvey Norman store and trained all the staff people, motivated them, and told them exactly what to do. And that one store increased his sales by 800%. So you can see a lot of people need motivation. And just that, in the natural world, just that boost of motivation can increase performance and the profit margin by so much. And then we ask ourselves the question, is this just a natural phenomenon, or did this originate in the Bible and the natural world copy it? The answer is it originated in the Bible. In the Old Testament law, you read the book of Deuteronomy, God says to the Israelites, every time you want to go to war, get a priest here. And the priest will read out your blessings. And the priest will bless you. And the priest will say these words to you. He even has these words to say. That the Lord is with you. The Lord is there. The Lord. It sounds like a pep talk. All these are inventions of modern society. But it's more than a pep talk. Because a pep talk and motivational speakers only motivate your soul. In the gift of prophecy, there is an actual edification which implies an impartation. something is transferred into you. Something is imparted into you. Some substance and some force, some energy is transferred to you. It's a spiritual impartation taking place. So you can imagine why this gift is important. Let's say I have the gift of healing, but I'm discouraged. I can't function much. Let's say I have the gift of discerning of spirits, but I'm discouraged. I can't function much. Now you see why Paul said this gift is important? Even though it may reveal nothing, even though it may just tell you that the Lord loves you, I mean, you can ask any spouse, how many times do you like to hear your spouse say, I love you? Alright? Definitely not once a year. Right? The more times the better, correct? So, how many times do we want to hear God says, I love you? And how many times do we forgot that God loves us? So, you can imagine, if we are 100% conscious that God loves us, He loves you so dearly, that if you were the only one in the world who was a sinner and everyone was a sin, He would still have sent Jesus to you. And imagine if you're conscious, that consciousness of His love is there in your life all the time, you'll be a super Christian. Even if you have a tiny little gift and not that big gift, it can make whatever little go so much further. It maximizes our potential. That is what the gift of prophecy is for. To edify, to exhort, to comfort. And so there is spiritual impartation, because there is, the word edify implies building a building. When you build a building, you need raw materials. You can't build it out of air. You need lots of material. So when He is building our spirits, building something in the spirit world, He supplies spiritual materials. The gift of prophecy supplies that. And that means you can be called to a prophet or even a fivefold minister. You know, a fivefold minister is useless if he's discouraged. I'm sure there are lots of fivefold ministers out there who are not functioning in their full capacity, and some not even functioning because they are discouraged or backslidden. A dose of a gift of prophecy in their life will make a lot of difference. And we all know what difference it makes when you're going through the toughest time. How much that voice of encouragement brings you that much further. And sometimes it's that one encouragement that pushes you through. That's a gift of prophecy. In building, there is impartation. And then in exhortation, there is a presence. That is why I use the word like someone alongside you. And it's always good to know that the Lord is with you. But it's even better when you know His presence is with you. How could David go through the valley of the shadow of death? He says that you are with me. What was the thing that Moses wanted when God says, I don't want to be among these rebellious, stiff-necked people, and my angel will go with you? And Moses said, no, Lord, if you don't go with us, you know, I won't go. Take me. He wanted God's presence. So the gift of prophecy imparts something. The gift of prophecy brings a presence of the Lord. And no matter how long you have been a Christian, there's nothing like the Lord's presence. It is just like good food. You know, sometimes you wonder in this life, how many times must we eat? But even after you've eaten, you get hungry again, and then you don't enjoy a meal. If you don't feel hungry, you don't enjoy the meal. You need to feel the hunger. And the presence of the Lord is something you can never live without on this earth. And the presence of the Lord is something that we need to experience. It may not necessarily be emotional experience alone, but there's something in you that the presence of the Lord does too. The gift of prophecy brings the presence of the Lord. That is exaltation. When thou art with me, you can do everything. And why do some Christians feel lonely? Because they don't have the gift of prophecy delivered to them. The presence of the Lord. Yes. Correct. That will be the result. And then thirdly, it gives comfort, help, or strength. Why comfort? What does it imply? Why do we need to be comforted? Comfort implies that there's something in you that is lacking. Short of. And comfort implies where we are today. I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all have weaknesses. And in this life, there are many times when you reach a place where your weakness bogs you down. Or your own inabilities, insufficiencies. And then you turn around. And what do you need? You need God to supply the grace for you. And that's what the comfort does. Comfort is like an impartation, it imparts something, but and here's an impartation too, but it's a different sort. It's a completion, yes, making up for your shortfall. Making up for your shortfall. And why comfort? Because that means even if you fail, it's okay as long as you are with Him. See, comfort implies that you fail. Comfort implies that you're weak. Comfort implies that you're down. Comfort implies that you're incomplete. And He makes you complete. Well, the first impartation, you're complete, but He adds more, pushes you through. Here, comfort implies He sort of covers up your weaknesses in order to bring you further. We'll touch more afterwards on how He operates. But this is the main gist of the gift of prophecy. Let's pray. Father,